Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors K routes 11 and 15 and Hummel's Wharf. By the way, Carl Nassib was nominated today for the Burlsworth Award. The Burlsworth Award is given to the top former walk-on. If you recall, Matt McGloin won the award in 2012. And if you also recall, I think they gave the award out in Dallas. And at the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, he joined us on the show, if you recall. So we'll see. I mean, certainly he is as fine a nominee as you're going to get among anybody out there. And Carl has already had 15 and a half sacks with two games to play, and the bowl game counts. He's got three to play. He could get up to 18, 19 sacks on the year. Kevin has often told us that Ben is a quick healer. And even said on Monday, when he's practicing, he might be able to play. You said that, Kevin.
I did.
Neil Coolong now joins us. Neil, welcome back. Great to have you back with us.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right. Neil, would want to know, what's the percentage you'd say? You know, are the Steelers playing games here with Roethlisberger, or is there actually a percentage on him?
There's no percentage. I think it's almost... you call it almost like a standard, and I hate to use that word, but coaches are gonna, you know, keep their cards as close to their vest as they can. They don't have to announce Ben Roethlisberger won't play Sunday, so they're not going to. Roethlisberger stokes the fire a little bit, a little kind of cat and mouse game that he likes to play by mentioning that he hasn't ruled himself out yet for Sunday's game against Cleveland, but there's basically no chance that he's gonna play, and I don't think the team, you know, really spend more than maybe a half second thought on the idea that he could. They have to jump into preparing Landry Jones to play, as we saw against Kansas City. He needs all the practice time he can get. So really, I mean, these decisions are made more often than not early in the week, especially for a quarterback. Whether it's Roethlisberger or Jones, they need to get just about all of the first team snaps and be prepared as if they're going to start the game. You can't really go back and forth at that position when you have a competing team in place. It might be a different story if they're a four-win team, you know, after 12 games. But right now, I mean, they're still in the thick of the playoff race. So for Roethlisberger, come Monday morning, if it's not looking, you know, dramatically improved for him, which as I understand it, it doesn't, they're not going to expect him to play. So I would say right now it's really just kind of a matter of, you know, whenever the team wants to make that official. And they're not going to, because they don't have to. And as long as you can, you know, maybe waste 15, 20 minutes out of the day for the Cleveland Browns to prepare a little bit for both quarterbacks, then, you know, at least they gain something from it.
Neil, the next part is, why has Landry Jones been a little bit better in the regular season than all of those preseason games we've watched the last couple of years?
Well, I think the knee-jerk response would be he's got the full complement of the team around him, and he benefits from it being prepared for a regular season game as opposed to the preseason a lot of the times too. I mean, as somebody that wasn't shy about expressing, you know, concern with Jones, one thing I did notice with him in the preseason, he kind of went out there and he looked like he not by his choice, but he was kind of fighting for himself. I mean, at the end, that Panthers game, as well as the Packers game when he played this preseason, he got beat up. I mean, he was getting no help at all up front. Receivers, you know, that are well out of the NFL right now are the guys running routes for him, and it didn't look like they were really, operating on the same page that he was. So I think there's something to be said about, you know, an increase in talent coming around him. But really, I think the key thing to look at is his ability, you know, coming in off the bench in the middle of a game versus, you know, being prepared to start. I think there's something mental about that that Jones is going to have to kind of prove this week that he's capable of doing. You come in off the bench in sort of a dramatic situation in which the other team isn't prepared for you. You're a lot more prepared for them than they are for you. You see that a lot in the NFL. You know, an in-game quarterback comes in right away and has, you know, a little bit of success. When they have to start, when the other team knows that that's the guy who's coming out, there can be a little bit more of a problem. And I think that's probably what we should expect to see come Sunday.
Sometimes when you're a backup quarterback, you know, and you're running the scout team stuff, which means you're with a different set of receivers, you actually get into a game and the different set of receivers that you usually work with, are the guys you look for. Does that in part explain that when Landry Jones has been in there, that Antonio Brown's production's gone down?
Well, I think for one, it's pretty easy to throw to Antonio Brown, especially when you're the Oakland Raiders and you refuse to do anything but play him in straight up man. I mean, he's gonna do that to you. I think it's just simply, you know, if you compare the scout team stuff that he's running versus the Steelers' actual offense. He's not doing anything that Todd Haley is instructing him to do, per se. He's doing it from the mindset that this is what the opponent's offense will do. They're running these plays. And I'd even go as far as to say a lot of the times he's not out there to you know, cut their throats out. He's not looking to march down the field. He's looking to give them a realistic impression of what this defense is going to do. So with that, it's not so much the individual. You're playing within a different structure that you're not used to. You put him in with what Todd Haley is calling and how his offense is running. It's a different story. You know, you're not throwing to spots. You're throwing to, you know, your receivers. And in his case, he's very lucky to have a guy like Antonio Brown there. I think that's a good point that you brought up, though. I mean, his numbers are Brown's numbers are through the roof when Jones is throwing to him. And it's kind of an anomaly, but let's see what happens on Sunday. I mean, he's the hottest receiver in the NFL right now. And Jones knows, you know, get the ball near him in any way, shape, or form, like we saw against Kansas City. And more often than not, he's going to come down with it.
I have no question about that. D'Angelo Williams, I thought, was a great offseason signing. Now it really looks that way. What do you like about him, Neil? It seems like he's just, as a running back, he's a pro's pro out there.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it. The first thing I would have said is just his balance and his vision. I mean, it's clear he's not a speed burner kind of guy anymore, but he's making up for so many additional yards just in being able to read where the guys are coming, spinning at the right time, getting low and getting forward. I mean, the 3-yard touchdown run is what immediately stands out in my mind. And I know that that's not, you know, a SportsCenter highlight worthy play really, but if you watch him, he set it up so well. He didn't run too fast. He let the defenders come into him and they didn't get a clean hit on it. Because of that, he could spin off it and then, you know, drive himself lower to get the yards that he needed. It was a great veteran touchdown run for whatever that's worth. And you really see a lot of that from him. If you give him the opportunity, you get him, you know, a reasonable amount of carries, he's done effectively well for the Steelers up to this point. I thought it was a good signing, like you had mentioned before, but you're exactly right. It's a great signing looking back on it. I mean, really, he's one of the better runners in the NFL from what we've seen right now. And the Steelers, because of you know, his ability throughout the turmoil that's been the Steelers' offensive season so far, he's kind of been the shining light for the running game, and a running game that's surprisingly one of the best in the NFL.
How well has the Steeler front seven played this year?
I'd say probably less than expectation. You're talking offense or defense?
Defense.
Defense, I think they've played very well overall, but you saw just a maddening level of inconsistency through a couple games. You look at how much they dominated against San Francisco, and you look how they got basically shut out against Oakland. I mean, obviously, those are two different teams, but they're all NFL teams. To some degree, you know, you might not have as much success against one team. You might have more against another. But you should be hovering around a certain point. But the Steelers' defensive line just seems to kind of hop over that line game in and game out. And you want to say some is inexperienced. You want to say some has to do with, you know, a few injuries here and there, at least Stephon Tuitt being out, Cam Thomas being in the game as opposed to Steve McClendon, a switch that Keith Butler had made between week 7 and week 8. you're just not getting a core level of consistency from them, I don't think. And when you have such a heavy emphasis on the front seven, their secondary is not going to be any good without that you know, presence up front. When you have to have those guys playing at a high level, and when they don't, they fall off as much as they did, that's frustrating. And you don't want to say then that it's all on the front seven, but they've got to play better than they did against Oakland. They need to be able to do more than that. And you really have to question whether they're going to week in and week out.
All right, so what about Blake in the secondary? How well is he playing? Because it seems like he gets matched up against the other guy's top guy most of the time.
I think whoever it is that they match him up against, that receiver seems to have a pretty big day.
Yeah, right.
We've seen him do a few good things here and there. And it makes you wonder if it Blake happens to be the guy out there and they just, that's the matchup they want to go with. Let's go out and play ball. From that perspective, is Blake really just that inefficient, or really is, how many cornerbacks in the league can see 9 targets a game like Blake is getting right now and actually have a good amount of success? I mean, it's a passer's league, it's a receptions league. These guys are going to make plays. And when you go up against one as good as Amari Cooper is, Michael Crabtree as well, or AJ Green the week before that, who's shutting these guys down that would be available for the Steelers? I mean, really, it just goes all the way back into, basic economics. There are only so many guys that you can pay a ton of money to, and there are only so many first-round draft picks that you're going to be able to make. You're going to have to get production from a guy not paid very much, not drafted very high, at some point. Now, the question for me is whether Blake really is just a whipping boy who's, the better of the three options the Steelers would have among their cornerbacks on the field at a time, or is he really just that inefficient? And to me, I mean, I'm writing something on this literally right now. I stopped to talk to you guys. It's more in the fact that he doesn't cover particularly well, but he's missing tackles too. I mean, those are empty yards. A player like him cannot give up. He's not good enough of a player to consistently make plays like he did against Cincinnati, like he did against San Diego, to make up for adding on another 12 yards because he can't tackle in the open field. That should be something that he does. That's a relatively inexpensive skill for a cornerback to have, especially within a defense like the Steelers. He has to be able to wrap guys up, and if he's not doing it, then they need to make a move.
What about now the matchup with the Browns? Well, what are your thoughts heading into this one, pro and con?
Yeah, from a pro perspective, you're seeing a lot of the classic, giving up Browns over the second half of the season. It's a little weird in my mind that they reached that point as quickly as they have. I mean, last year they thumped the Steelers, 31-10, I think it was in week 6, and they fell apart after that. Each year we seem to see a Browns team that just has nothing at all down the stretch of games after what, some might categorize as a fairly decent start. They gave Denver a decent game earlier in the year, and I think they've lost, 4 in a row, 5 in a row, something like that since then.
Right.
It's a team that's reeling. And defensively is the weird thing, I think, more than anything else. They're not playing very good defensive football at all. So in that regard, I think you might be able to get past Jones's presence on the field a little bit more with a good running game, with good receivers. They would match up well from that standpoint. The con is if you get a healthy Josh McCown back, I mean, you've seen that guy make plays this year. Mike Tomlin alluded to this in his press conference. He has 130 passer rating on third down or something like that,
right?
Something ridiculous. There are playmakers within that offense. Travis Benjamin's a good player. Gary Barnage is probably the surprise player of the year. Very athletic, good receiving tight end. And as we've seen, the Steelers have had some trouble with that. So I from the Steelers' perspective, I wouldn't think at all this is anything even close to a walk-away kind of game. Cleveland has to have something to play for, and they've played the Steelers very tough the last two times they faced them.
Neil, always a pleasure. Thanks. Great to have you back on the show.
Definitely. Thanks for having me. You guys have a good one.
Neil Coulong, beat reporter, covers the Pittsburgh Steelers for DK Sports. I thought Kevin, rather harsh assessment of the Roethlisberger situation. It appears to be completely counter from what you expected.
It is, but I'm happy about it. I didn't want him to play. And I don't want him to play.
Imagine if Johnny Manziel beat you guys. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Import car buyers, stop! Before you buy a Toyota, Nissan, Subaru, or Honda, you've got to check out the amazing value of a new Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai. 2015 Hyundai Accents starting at only $13,999. Or buy for only $213 per month. That's right, a new car for only $213 a month. And it comes with America's best warranty. 10 years, 100,000 miles. In the market for a Corolla or Sentra or maybe a Civic, you owe it to yourself to check out the 2016 Elantra. Hands down, the best value in its class. And SMC has them starting at $15,999. Buy for only $243 a month. Stop. And get the peace of mind you deserve knowing you got the best car, the best warranty, and the best price. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And at sunburyhyundai.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers.
Tax and tax extra. Financing based on 2.99% for 72 months with HMF with approved credit. Not all buyers will qualify.
Great to have you with us. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Coming up, our bozo of the day. Oh, easy winner today. Easy winner for those of you. In fact, this is right up your alley, Kevin. The source of the story is TMZ.
You know what? Despite what you think, I have never read TMZ ever. Or seen it on TV, for that matter.
In fact, at this moment, we have Kevin hooked up to a little machine, and the little thing's going back and forth very fast. Hey, Sunbury Motors, you're driving another great vehicle this week.
Yeah, I've been enjoying the Ford Fusion. The 2016 Ford Fusion is available for you to drive for just $149 a month. You can get it as low as $149 a month plus tax, tags, and fees with a competitive lease and $2,100 due at signing. How about one nicely equipped with Sync MyFord Touch, rear reversing sensors, 10 speakers, dual zone climate control, and EcoBoost engine. So that gas mileage that I've been talking about in the upper 20s near 30 is going to tick up just a little bit higher, and even higher than that on the highway. Comfort from a larger sized vehicle, mid-sized vehicle actual size, and the gas economy and fuel efficiency of a compact. That's what you'll find in the Ford Fusion. And hey, by the way, they race these things, too. It's available at Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And find out more about how you can drive one away for as low as $149 a month with a competitive lease.
And tomorrow is one of those days where we find it very entertaining. Several of us like to go out to the dealership and watch you turn the car in. We find it to be an interesting exhibition.
Yeah, that's something we don't periscope.
Plus, the good people at Sunbury Motors do an awesome job. All right, Bozo of the Day coming up. You're going to love it. It's from Kevin's number one news source, TMZ. Yeah. How about that one? Russia admits in doping to avoid a Rio ban. I'm stunned. I've never once thought the Russian athletes were into doping. Taken completely aback.
I'm just trying to figure out the last Russian to win a track event.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Nor do we want to know.
Well, if you're going to cheat, at least be successful at it.
Well, that's why I always laughed about Billy Brewer and Ole Miss football. Ole Miss got put on probation for cheating under Billy Brewer. They went 3-8. I mean, they're not even good at it. All right. Tonight, I believe James Franklin's with us tonight. I'm pretty sure he is. I haven't heard pro or con of that. I know Patrick Chambers is on the first part of the show tonight. They're openers with VMI on Saturday. And coming off that recruiting class that has everybody thrilled around here. And remember, last year's recruiting class was the highest ranked recruiting class in Penn State history. That's now considered number two to the one they just brought in. And don't forget, Bucknell opens tomorrow night at 7 on Eagle 107. Nathan Davis era gets underway when they take on Shenandoah at Soica. And because of that, the Sealands Grove playoff game will be on 94KX with a 6 o'clock airtime and a 7 o'clock kick. Lewisburg's at Montoursville on the Valley 100.9. 7 o'clock kick, 6:30 the airtime, and then
Kevin goes to Jersey Shore with Tim Ford tomorrow night. 7 o'clock will be the kick, and 6:30 will be the airtime. Tomorrow, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report on the show. Looking forward to that. And coming up next week, Jack Hamm, Jim Brandstetter, Gene Deckerhoff, the great color analyst of Penn State football, the great play-by-play voice of Michigan football, the great play-by-play voice of Florida State and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, all on the show next week. We're also working on John Bacon. So we're busy.
Very busy. Kevin, you must be excited about playoff football.
I love playoff football and love calling playoff football even better.
Oh, that's my point. That's what I mean. I mean, it's got to be exciting for you.
This is going to be one of the better games on the first round docket. I mean, these two teams played in a battle in week two, and there were some players that weren't available that are now. That makes this even more intriguing here in week 11.
Well, that's tomorrow night. And this time, you know what? Shikellamy's a better team now than when they played him in September.
Absolutely.
That's what makes this exciting.
Yeah, especially on the defensive side of the ball.
A little Penn State wrestling talk next half hour.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Indeed. Great to have you with us. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Keywords 11 and 15. Hummel's Wharf, our bozo of the day. And by the way, good solid advice on the polar bear. A message from this station of the Ad Council. They will tear you to shreds.
It's a good safety tip.
JT Barrett, TMZ Sports. Do they have a sports division? TMZ was able to get the video of Ohio State quarterback JT Barrett's drunk driving arrest. Now, normally this would be no big deal. He does perform a field sobriety test, after which the officer informs him he's being placed under arrest. While handcuffed, the officer says, "You've been very polite with me. You've been very cooperative." But evidently, he tells him, he says, "Do you know who you've stopped? I'm the starting quarterback at Ohio State." Like, great.
Please tell me that the officer followed that up with, "And?"
No, he cuffed him. He was fined $400. His license was suspended for 6 months. He pled guilty to misdemeanor OVI charge.
But I'm a quarterback.
So, "I'm the quarterback at Ohio State." That's what he told them. In other words, "You're going to get me out of this." And, no, you're not getting out of this. You're done. Now, when he got the OVI, he would not have made this segment. We'd have talked about it, which we did, but it would not have made the bozo of the day. I wouldn't do that. But when you start pulling the Reese Witherspoon deal, "Do you know who I am?" "I know exactly who you are. Somebody who failed the field sobriety test." Okay, so there we go. Like I said, there's one thing with this segment. When we talked about this segment with Drew the other day, I said, you have no idea the number of daily nominations that we have to weed out to get to the one. All right. He said, "Can you come up with one every day?" "Oh, yes." All right. Time now to check in with Nate Cobbler. He is the wrestling beat writer for the Center Daily Times. First time we've had him on the show. Hi, Nate. Welcome.
Hey, thanks, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
Let's start with yesterday we talked extensively about the recruiting class that Patrick Chambers and his staff brought in, which is the highest ranked recruiting class they've ever had and is ranked in the top 10 by virtually everyone. But again, there is the wrestling recruiting class. What kind of job, again, did Cale Sanderson and his staff do against high top-ranked competition for some athletes?
Well, I mean, with wrestling, it's kind of tougher to keep track of compared to basketball. But with that being said, I mean, he's bringing in another big class as far as wrestling goes. I mean, he just obviously got a big commit yesterday with Mark Hall from Apple Valley out in Minnesota committing. So, I mean, that just adds to the class. And there's one more guy that's hanging out there that everybody's waiting to hear from. It's Spencer Lee from Franklin Regional. So he's a little banged up right now, and I mean, I'm sure he's going to take a little bit of time to make that decision, but I'm pretty sure also he's out with that injury. So,
And to go out and look, to get a guy that's a five-time and an opportunity to be a six-time state champion, that's unbelievable. And a lot of people thought it was long odds for them to get him.
Yeah, I mean, when you have the likes of, you know, Ohio State, who just came off of winning a national championship, and then you got the pedigree out of Arizona State that's in there as well, competing against with those schools, and then you had two other Big Ten schools with Minnesota and Wisconsin. I mean, you're talking about some, you know, a couple big programs there that, you know, Penn State just, you know, took over with, whether it be with just because they won those four straight national championships or just because of the program that Cale's running and even the name Cale Sanderson.
All right, let's talk about this team. Getting Nico Megalutis and Zane Rutherford back into the lineup, what does that mean to the balance and the scoring potential of this lineup?
Well, I mean, it gives them a lot of different opportunities. When we talked to Cale yesterday at Media Day, he said, you know, the lineup shifted where, you know, Nico slid back into his usual spot there at 125. And Jordan Conway, he was wrestling at 125 last year. And he said, you know, he did well, but he's just so much a better wrestler at 133. So you see those two guys obviously slotting back into their main spots. And then you have Zane Rutherford, where Cale said, you know, basically it fell on Zane here when he figured out where he wanted to wrestle at. We sort of allowed those opportunities for those other guys to fall in with, you know, like I said, Nico at 125, Goulibon at 141, and then Conway there at 133.
Right. Okay, now let's get into Goulibon for a moment. Jeff Byers is just, I mean, every time we talk about wrestling, Jimmy Goulibon's name comes up. What do you like about him as a wrestler?
Well, to be honest with you, Steve, I can't say that I've followed it 100%. You know, I just got onto the beat here this recently.
Right, I know.
But, there's nothing you can't see wrong with any of these guys that are wrestling at Penn State. I mean, they're all very disciplined. They all are wrestling at the top part of the game. So I can't answer that question for you. I'd be lying to you if I answered it.
Okay, that's fair enough. What did Cale say yesterday about Jan Johnson at heavyweight moving from the football team over?
Well, he basically said, you know, that he's thankful that they, you know, that he made the decision to come across. He made it to a point where he said that when he called Coach Franklin, he casually, you know, hinted at Johnson by saying, hey, James, you got anybody on your roster there that's redshirt and has some wrestling experience? So, you called him about that, and then he said that James Franklin was real supportive of it, and that, you know, it was ultimately Jan's decision. So,
did Cale mention the kind of potential he thinks Johnson has for him at heavyweight?
Yeah. I mean, he said obviously Jan's going to be undermanned when he's wrestling this year. I mean, he's right now he's listed at like 235 pounds, so he's going to be at any given day he's going to be wrestling guys that are 50 pounds heavier than
right.
he is. The heaviest weight is 285. But he said, you know, he mentioned he's got good speed, and as long as he uses his strengths that he has and stays out of bad position, he'll be okay. And, you know, he's got real good scrambling ability. So, you know, as long as he doesn't get into, like, a wrestling match, so to speak, with these heavier guys that, you know, they're just going to put their weight on him, you know, he'll do well. And one other thing that Cale had mentioned, that, you know, if he has the right mentality, he's going to do really well.
Right. That's a big part of it. Also, it's my understanding that the bigger guys, and James Franklin mentioned this on the talk show, I think it was a week ago about this, that the bigger guys end up wrestling Kale in the wrestling room. So.
Yeah. I mean, he is doing a lot of wrestling with Kale because there aren't that many, there aren't any other bigger guys on the roster. With the guy that's supposed to start, Nick Neville, being out with an injury for a little bit here, and then another guy that they had on the roster, he got hurt just before school started at a big world championship meet in Brazil. So, I mean, Kale was caught in the situation, but he was able to make quick work and get it filled with Johnson there coming across from the football team.
I can't imagine wrestling Kale every day as a confidence builder. I just can't.
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to help him improve as a wrestler, right. You know, obviously when you're wrestling somebody like that. But, yeah, things don't get too easy on him for Jan to start his, you know, college wrestling career with, you know, the matchups this weekend.
I'll say this. He goes out there and goes, well, a wrestling room is harder than this. So, how much, from a personal point of view, how much are you looking forward to covering this beat on a day in and day out basis? What excites you about it?
I grew up wrestling whenever I was, in school and stuff. I've been out for a little while, but I lived in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina for a while, and, you know, wrestling's not as big down there.
No.
And they didn't have, a whole lot of knowledge about the sport, so I was able to become that main focus in the wrestling in high school down there. But, just the overall, just being able to have this type of experience and to cover, you know, to gain this type of experience. But just overall, this team is just so exciting. The opportunities are there that if they have their minds to it, this team could really go on another run of national championships again, just how solid the lineup is from top to bottom.
Right, exactly. And this is the Madison Square Garden year, I believe. So this thing culminates at the Garden.
Yeah, and then on top of that, you got Big Ten's in Iowa. And I was talking to Pat Dunn guy yesterday, and he said it's always nice when you can go in there and maybe get a Big Ten championship because the crowd just goes silent.
it certainly does. In your thumbnail, any thoughts on Lock Haven in the opener coming up?
Well, I mean, obviously Lock Haven, you know, they all usually always have a strong, strong program. So it'll be interesting to see, obviously a lot of those kids that are on that roster from Pennsylvania. So you're going to see a lot of some of the kids that wrestled each other at states. You know, Johnson may end up being, you know, a couple kids that he wrestled, you know, when at the state mm-hmm. tournament and other kids. So it'll be a tough one, but I mean, Penn State probably shouldn't have any problems.
Well, that'll be tomorrow night. Nate, thanks so much. Look forward to having you on many more times as the season goes along.
All right. Thanks, Steve. You guys have a good one.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Hi, this is Rick Deal. We have the answer to all your driving needs. Just take a look at our selection. We invite you to Mifflinburg Auto Sales to see us on all three corners: cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. The prices are clearly marked, and we have hand-picked quality vehicles, and we will trade anything. We give you the best prices every day. We're talking trucks, 4x4s for the cold driving season, price to go. Financing rates are some of the lowest in years. And are you tired of all the hype and sales gimmicks and free giveaways? Then come to Mifflinburg Auto Sales and truly enjoy purchasing your next vehicle. You'll find some of the best prices, and this is absolutely the best time to buy. Do you have a vehicle you want to sell? Bring it in and we'll write you a check on the spot. Check us out online at MifflinburgAutoSales.com. Or better yet, stop in and see us on all three corners of Route 45 and 104 in Mifflinburg.
Mifflinburg Auto Sales. Expect more and get it.
I have to get to sleep.
Tom had a stressful day, and now he can't shut down at bedtime.
Need sleep?
To fall asleep fast, millions of people turn to Unisom Sleep Gels. They're non-habit forming and quickly help you sleep soundly so you wake recharged. Tom? Unisom Sleep Gels. A stressful day deserves a restful night. Use as directed. Active ingredient, diphenhydramine hydrochloride.
From Progressive here on a road trip with Bob, who owns a dry cleaning service.
Well, it's not really a road trip. We're only going a mile.
Oh, in a mile, you can save money on your commercial auto insurance with discounts like Safe Driver, Business Experience, and Paid in Full.
Nice.
So, expert to expert, how would you get a large mustard stain out of white cotton?
Why?
Just planning out our road snacks.
We're only going a mile, Flo.
I can eat a lot of hot dogs in a mile, Bob.
Good point.
Discounts to save your business money. Visit Progressive.com to learn more. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
It's a girls' night out. Don't miss the annual Women's Expo, Thursday, November 12th from 5 till 8 at the Cellars at Brook Park Farm in Lewisburg. Win a $1,000 shopping spree to New York City. No purchase necessary. Food and wine sampling from the locals' best. Gift baskets for prizes and a fashion show. Get your holiday shopping started at the Women's Expo, Thursday, November 12th from 5 till 8 at Cellars at Brook Park Farm, Lewisburg.
Sponsored by Sunbury Community Hospital, the Cellars at Brook Park Farm, Shade Mountain Winery, Skincare FPC, and the stations of Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation, including News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Little Phil Collins. Actually played the Jordan Center. Everything was like February 29th, 96 he played here. Played continuously for like 2.5-3 hours. Okay, our play-by-play call of the day, and anytime Mike Lang, who is the legendary play-by-play voice of the Penguins, who's been on the show, I think Mike's been on the show like 2 or 3 times with Adam.
Yeah, I was thinking
Mike
that
on the
today.
Show. Well, anytime you hear a Mike Lang call, you've got a beauty, and that's a setup for the call of the day.
Fans can win it as Crosby comes in right towards the net. Stick handling, backhanded home, and it's over. Sidney Crosby, like a typewriter, moving in towards the net. And he beats goaltender Condon, and the Penguins have won this game in the shootout. Your final score, the Penguins 4 and the Canadiens 3. And yes, Elvis has just left the building.
Our play-by-play call of the day, Mike Lang on the Penguins Radio Network. They survived 3-on-3 hockey last night, and then they ended up going with the shootout, and Sidney Crosby is the one that put it away and won it.
I like the, like a typewriter.
I know.
Now, Mike, this is the best part right here.
Sidney Crosby, like a typewriter, moving in towards the net.
Mike is, he's just great, just terrific, and a great guy to talk to, be around, and just an excellent announcer. He actually grew up, I think, I want to say in Arizona, San Diego, somewhere in there. And
it's a far cry Pittsburgh. From hockey land.
Yeah, exactly. And now look at him. I mean, Mike's in, it's 30-plus years now with the Penguins. He's been terrific. Just terrific. The Jets and the Bills tonight. Rex Ryan returns to the Meadowlands. While an interesting side story, it comes down to players. The Jets have a very good defense. The Bills have a very good defense. It's actually the players and not the sideshow story. Kevin loves the sideshow stories. There's not once has a sideshow story ever won or lost a game.
Is Taylor starting a quarterback for the Bills tonight?
I'm not sure who's starting for them. He's been hurt.
Read somewhere earlier this week that Taylor was getting the start tonight.
Well, that would be a plus for them because he is their starting quarterback. And that is going to be tonight, Thursday Night Football. And I was kidding last week when the Bengals and Browns were on. I said, you can always tell when they make the transition to NFL Network for all the games. The Browns have made the cut. Well, the Bills and Jets would have been, I think, a pretty good game on CBS to show. But it's going to be on NFL Network tonight. That should be a good one. I'm looking forward to watching that game tonight. College football on ESPN tonight. I'm trying to see what the college games are this evening. They usually have a couple games at a doubleheader. Fox Sports 1 has started a college game as well.
Okay, Utah's playing tonight. Utah is playing. No, I'm sorry. That's not right. Utah is not playing tonight.
According to ESPN, according to ESPN, by the way, Tyrod Taylor is the starting quarterback tonight for the Bills.
Fabulous.
And the smartest quarterback in the NFL will be quarterbacking the Jets.
I believe he scored 48 on the Wonderland.
Yeah, that's why he's always been dubbed as the smartest quarterback. By the way, best quarterback beard in the NFL, too.
That's great. Okay. What did that add to the show?
Entertainment.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure. Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good with that. I'm feeling
coming up,
good.
Coming up tonight, let's see. Louisiana Lafayette is at South Alabama. Virginia Tech's at Georgia Tech tonight. So that's their game. It's Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech tonight. And Louisiana Lafayette's at South Alabama at ESPNU. And ESPN has Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech. Tomorrow night, USC's at Colorado. That's on ESPN2 tomorrow night. Then, of course, the full slate of Saturday games coming up, which includes also Michigan and Indiana, which is Penn State's next opponent. And that game will be a 3:30 game at Bloomington. So that's the lineup coming up. And then, of course, the Bills and Jets coming up tonight. Once again, Kevin dubbing Fitzpatrick as having the best beard of any quarterback in the NFL. And an incredible, salient moment. Yeah. There you go.
I mean, and it is borderline Grizzly Adams, too.
Oh, I'm sure it is. I've seen it. But he's smart. Harvard guy. But you know what? He's playing with house money in his life. Because I've heard him interviewed before, and he said, look, I didn't know if I'd even get a year in this thing. He said, look how many years I've been in the league. And I think that's the cool part of this. He really said, look, if I even got a year, I would have been thrilled. He said, now look where he is. Look how many games he started. I think he's with his fourth organization now.
See, Bills, Jets.
Texans.
Yeah, Texans. Oh, I forgot about that. Was he with the Cardinals at one point?
I think he was with the Bengals, wasn't he? At one stage earlier. No, I think he was with the Bengals at one stage. Well.
Let's see. I'm going to look that one up. I forgot about the Texans, but yeah. Here we go. The Rams, Bengals, Bills, Texans, Titans, and Jets. Not necessarily in that order.
Titans. Yeah, I forgot he's with the Titans. Look, he's had a heck of a career. You go out, you play Harvard, at Harvard, and you get into the league.
Drafted by the Rams in the seventh round as the 250th pick.
But you know what? Again, this goes back to what I've talked about many times. There is no cradle of quarterbacks that's a feeder system to the NFL. Who? Who's the feeder system to the NFL? The all-time yardage leader is from Southern Mississippi. The guy that's about to overtake him is from Tennessee. I mentioned Fran Tarkenton, Georgia. Johnny Unitas, Louisville. Bart Starr, Alabama. Dan Marino, Pitt. Joe Montana, Notre Dame. They're from all over the place. Hey, everybody's aching for Tony Romo to come back. Eastern Illinois. Really? Your guy's from Miami of Ohio. No cradle.